Turn with me, if you would, now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I would like for us, if the Lord will enable us to, I would like for us to enjoy our God tonight. That's what I'd like for us to do. I have something that I pray will be very enjoyable. Let's read Romans 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We know. God's people know. I say that emphatically. God's people know. Now, we don't always remember. I find myself constantly having to be reminded. This is the most light bulb moment verse of Scripture in all of the Bible to me. Every time I read this, I think, oh yes, I forgot. Deep in the soul, though, God's Spirit has caused His people to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, that can only be said about God's people. That can only be said about God's people. What is going on in the world is in every soul in the world's mind, the world over. And this can only be said about God's people in the world, those who are in Christ in the world, those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, there is nothing good, nothing. Outside of Christ, life on this earth is as good as a sinner is ever going to have it. Life right here. And if the time spent here is spent in sickness, outside of Christ, this is as good as it gets. And if the time here is spent in sickness, or if death catapults a sinner to the judgment throne of Christ, that's not good. That end is not good. That's not a good end. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, you think about what it is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we're dealing with right now is but a blip in time. Think about eternity. Eternity. In the eternal security of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the eternal redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the eternal joy of the inheritance of the saints with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the safety, in the protection of salvation that comes from being placed by God the Father in Christ. In Him we know. In the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fact that we're in Him and He's in the Father. We're in His hand and He's in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. In Christ we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If God has redeemed us and washed us and paid that debt for us, if He has given us a faith and a love for Christ, then do you know what is going on around us? Good. I do not understand it. I do not understand it. I just don't understand it. But according to the Word of God, that's what is happening. Good. good is happening. This is all good. This is all good. We were singing some of these songs. Lord, I need strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. As you've been, you forever will be. Cause me to remember, cause me to know, cause me to believe that it's good. Verse 28 says, this is specifically who all of these things are working together for good for, everything that's going on. This is how you can know who God is bringing good to and who He's purposed good for. Verse 28 says, they love God. They love God. All things work together for good to them that love God. That's what characterizes God's people. That's what characterizes the call. That's how you can spot them. They love God. They love God. Now, I believe we can say with reverence and with humility and with fear, by His grace, by His call, by His work that He's performed in us, I believe we can say that we love God. Not perfectly, not as we desire to, not as we one day will, but we love our God. We love the fact that He is God. We love what we see in Him. We love what we see in Him. We love what He has revealed of Himself in His Word. We love the fact that we're not God and He is. We love the fact that He's caused us to bow to Him willingly. Don't you love the fact that He has made you bow to Him, knowing what you are? We love the fact that we don't worship a little g God that's made up of the figment of my imagination. Here's what my imagination says. Yeah, God is God, kind of. That's what this imagination says. I'm not talking about other people's. That's what this flesh says. God is sovereign-ish. That's what this mind says. But aren't you so glad that we worship God in spite of anything and everything? We love God being God, the God of us. God has put a love in us for Him, and He's caused us and He's allowed all of His people to love Him above everything else that is. When you get to the heart of the matter, still being flesh, we know this and we understand this, but the flesh naturally loves the flesh. Those who have been called by the Spirit love God. This flesh naturally loves the world. Those who have been called by the Spirit love God. This flesh loves prosperity. It does. It loves ease of life. It loves health, wealth, and happiness. You know what the sinner who has been called and quickened by the Spirit of God loves? He loves God. He really does. He loves God by His grace. And because of that love that we've been given for Him, we've been caused to believe and to say and to cling to His Word. And this is what His Word says. Look at verse 17, Romans 8, verse 17. It says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, all of these sufferings are worth suffering. That's what he's saying. They're all worth suffering if it means in the end we get to be with him and see him. And that's so true. That is so true. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 15, it says, "All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal." That's what will get us through this. Looking unto Him. Looking unto Him, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Heavy afflictions become light afflictions while we're looking to Him in that moment. And then as soon as we take our eyes off of Him, they become heavy afflictions again. But it's true, heavy afflictions become light afflictions as long as we're looking to Him. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively," or a living hope, "a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now watch verse 8. "Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." He said, if you're a believer on Him, you love Him. If you're one of His elect, you love Him. If you are under the blood, you love Him. If you're one of the ones who are being kept by the power of God, you love Him. You love Him. We love God, don't we? We love God. By His grace, even though we have not physically seen Him, we love Him. We believe Him. we rejoice in Him. We rejoice in Him. Now, having established that fact, having established the fact that we love our God, here's what I want us to look at. This is what I want us to think on, and this is what I want us to enjoy for the rest of this time. What do we love about our God? That's the title of the message. What do we love about our God? We love our God. We do. What specifically do we love about Him? Let's just enjoy for a moment thinking on some of the things that we love about Him, some of the things that make us love Him so much. I was looking through different attributes of His and character traits of His. And the reality is, if you started making a list, eternity's not long enough to go through that list of the things about God that makes us love Him. It's just not long enough. Eternity is not long enough. Never could we exhaust the character and the glory and the wonder of God. Never. But using the text, that's what will limit us to our time frame here. Just using our text, which is Romans 8:28, from that one verse, I want us to enjoy what God has to say concerning His character, who He is. And in seeing that, this is what I believe we're going to say. I believe we're going to say, I love that about Him. I love that about Him. Go with me back to Romans 8. I want to begin at the end of the verse and we'll work our way backward. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Do we not love the fact that God has a purpose in everything that He does? Does that not make you love Him? What if? What if? You know why the world is in such a frenzy? What if? What if? What if? There's no what ifs with God. None. Don't you love the fact that everything He does is not only on purpose, but for a purpose? Everything that is going on is going perfectly according to His purpose. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Oh, the wisdom of His purpose. Just enter into that for one second. The wisdom of His purpose. His wisdom is what brought His purpose. Look at Romans 11, verse 33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." That means we sinners can ask this question over and over and over again. Why? Why is He doing that? Why is He doing that? We will never find the answer out here. His ways are past finding out. We cannot understand His judgments. His wisdom is so deep. The wisdom in what He's doing. The absolute wisdom in everything that He's doing. What we're witnessing right now is God's purpose and His wisdom. That's what we're witnessing, God's purpose and His wisdom. If we want to see the wisdom of God, all we have to do is look around and see what He's doing. That's all we have to do. Our flesh says, and when I say our, I include myself in it. Our flesh says, "I just can't see that. I just cannot see that. I can't see how world sickness and world fear and a crashing global economy could be the purpose and the wisdom of God. Men and women losing everything. Men and women losing everything. Having all of their foundation and all of their stability knocked out from under them. I just don't see how that could be the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. If we saw masses of people falling to their knees crying, "God, be merciful to me, a helpless sinner. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I have nothing left but you." If we saw that, we would see the wisdom in it. We would see the purpose in it. Now, only God knows what His wisdom and purpose is. Whether we see something like that or not, though, we know that what's happening right now is the wisest thing that could possibly be happening right now. The reason this is happening right now is because there is no wiser thing that could take place right now. No wiser purpose right now. This is why we love Him. This is what makes us love Him. It's because of the wisdom of His purpose. All of His purpose. We don't understand it, but we trust it. We trust Him. Back in Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called." To them who are the called. What do we love about our God? We love His mercy. We love His mercy. We love the fact that He is willing to call sinners to Himself. The fact that He is willing to wash us and cleanse us in His own blood. The fact that He would willingly make us acceptable to God in Himself. Acceptable to come. Acceptable to be called. That's His mercy. Verse 30 right here says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Don't we love Him? Because He has loved us and He's called us to Himself. If we are among the ones that God the Father gave to Christ, we love the fact that His desire is for us. Why is all that going on? Here's why. It's because His desire is for us. He wants the best for us. He pities us. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. We don't. We think we're something when we're nothing. But He remembers we're dust. And in mercy, He deals with us accordingly. He calls us to Himself. He comforts us with His word. His word of mercy. We love that about Him. Verse 28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God," specifically to His people. His people. I'll tell you something that we love about our God. We love His faithfulness to His people. It just draws us to Him. Go with me over to Psalm 37. Now, I don't know what is going to happen in the world. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy and all that. I don't know. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that if we have been given faith to believe on Christ, if we have been given faith that believes that He is our only hope of salvation, If we are one of the ones that the Father chose in Christ, and if that truth and that choosing is evidenced by us trusting Christ and believing on Christ and casting it all on Christ, then we can quote David right here with absolute certainty. This was inspired by God. He wrote this according to the Spirit of God. This is absolute truth. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I don't know what's going to happen out there, but if Christ has been made to be our all, and if we're looking to Him, if we're trusting Him, we will not be forsaken. We will not be destitute. We will not be begging for food, physical or spiritual. We will not. God's people will not be left without physical bread. They will not be left without spiritual bread. Heavenly bread, the Word. They're going to be provided bread, yes, but He knows. He knows our frame. He knows that we cannot live by bread alone. We have to have every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know it so in a moment that we need it the most. We know it so in a moment that we're hungry the most. The Word comes and our souls say, I needed that more than physical food. He said, you're never going to be forsaken of it. Don't we love His faithfulness to us? He is faithful to His people. He is faithful to His people. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. I love that about Him. All of His people do. Go with me back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. Don't we love His goodness? It's His grace. His grace. Don't we love the fact that everything He's purposed it for good. All of them go to good. All of them. There is none good but God. God is good. He is goodness. He is justice and holiness and righteousness and purity. And because that's what He is, that's what He does. Because that's what He is, that's what He does. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. That new heaven that He has created, He said the only thing that's going to dwell there is righteousness. Good. That's all that's going to be there. Good. That's what He is. And that's all He does for His people. Good. So from this one verse, we can see just a few of these things that we love so much about Him. We love His wisdom. The wisdom of His purpose. We love His mercy. We love His faithfulness. We love His goodness in everything He does for His people. There's one more. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together. We love His sovereignty. That's what we love. We love His sovereignty over all of it. All of it, everything, all things. We're going to close with this. Go with me to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. How beautiful is that? That's the message God has sent to his people. It's a message of good tidings of good. It's a message that cries to God's people, Thy God reigneth. Don't we love that our God absolutely reigns over everything? He's controlling everything. Most importantly, our salvation, our eternal state. Verse 8 says, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, you places that have been utterly wasted. Break forth into joy. Sing together. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. That's what has happened. Man thinks he's something when he's nothing. God sends one little germ and shows his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. Amen. I pray that after all the nations see this holy arm that he's now made bare, I pray that all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God out of every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, people, generation. Thank God we have been given a love for God. Thank God we've been given a love for God. Everything that He is, everything that He's done, we thank Him for that. And here's the reason why. It's because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All right, let's all stand together.